Sounds like a good idea. Hi, John.
Hello there. How's everybody doing today?
I'm doing fine, and you too?
Oh yeah, everything's going well. Just decided to come in and see what's going on. I've got the football games going on in the background, so it's a fun weekend.
Chris, are you recording right now?
Yep.
Okay, then I won't say nothing. My team won yesterday, the Packer.
Hey John, the roller coaster ride came out.
Oh, it did. Okay, good. Because I've got the Olympus DS50, and I recorded it as well. But it must have bumped something while it was in my pocket because it started, but the entire ride didn't make it. It must have gotten accidentally bumped and turned it off. And I know. Oh, by Jerry, we're talking about Jamie Adams and I did a whole bunch of POIs at. Mainly California Adventure theme park, but also a few that had to be done at Disneyland and some stuff at in downtown Disney at the hotels. And so we spent, I guess, 6 or 7 hours together doing that. So Jamie had her recorder going with to record and do some play-by-play for Chris, and she even did a replay. And I don't know if she sent that in to anybody to look at or not when we did the California Screamin' Roller Coaster. But we had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we looked at it. It maxed out at 46 miles an hour.
Oh, that's cool. I'll have to look at that too. Yeah, 'cause I was using the replay this weekend myself. I went over here in San Antonio. They started the Alamo Council of the Blind group. They had it for many years, but they actually starting to get it going. So I thought I was invited to go, so I went and I signed up to, but to be a supportive member. But so I used the PO, I used the replay, and what you did, if we have some family come here from Romania at the end of the year, we'd be going to Disneyland in Anaheim.
Well, I'll tell you, I've played around with looking at the area in virtual mode, and briefly a couple times ago when I signed a few people in, I looked at I walked around just outside of it and briefly inside of the park, but I didn't have a chance to really go from various area to various area with it on, and it is just. I mean, I can't tell you how exciting it is to me to literally be able to walk from one end of that park to the other and know exactly where I am at all times. Now I had Jamie with me, and with her being sighted, we always got to where we had to go. I think I could probably find just about anything in that park I wanted to find. The only obstacle might be in a crowded situation with a cane, navigating crowds. That's where a guide dog would probably have an advantage in that situation. But I wrote Mike May an email back about this a couple of days ago. I mean, I liken it a lot to my first computer with JAWS, where I literally was then able to look at anything I wanted to do, whenever I wanted to do it, complete independence in terms of going from whatever website, whatever newspaper. Same type of thing here, because for me, I mean, it's just I love doing stuff at Disneyland. I always wanted to work there. I never thought I would, but now I am. Not directly at the park, but close by, and I can go down there now whenever I want to. And if I want to go on my own, I think I could. It's probably not as much fun as traveling with other people. But it's neat to be able to do it, and we've basically got everything labeled correctly now, with the exception of just a couple of things at one of the hotels. But everything else is pretty much done. So technically, anybody now with a Braille note, and or whatever the whatever the voice sensor, whatever they call it, should be able to navigate all the. Basically, the entire resort, providing, of course, that all those POIs have transferred over to the micro GW micro thing. I don't know whether they have or not.
So I would have to go into My Sendero and download from there the POI for the Disneyland Resort.
They're not there yet. The new ones that they put in a couple days ago. But they will be in the collective user POI file. And John, to answer your question sort of about the GW Micro, anybody who has SenseNav can log on and download those POIs and use them.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's good. But Jerry, you can get all the previous stuff that Jamie and Mike did. That's already up there. And that's, I mean, and that was, I mean, we didn't add a lot. I mean, we probably added 30 or 40. So the majority of the resort, or at least Disneyland, and probably California Adventure Theme Park too, was already up there. We just added to it. So basically everything is in there now. And we may find a few things here and there down the line that we may want to add, but pretty much it's ready to go. And I hope that other people will do the same thing to other theme parks, because it's just a neat thing to be able to do. And it provides a great service to people who may want to go on their own but can't always go. So now the independence and the opportunity is available.
Yeah, you know what I like to do. Well, I've been to Disneyland probably, I think, between 5 and 7 times, and I've been there when they almost first opened many years ago, and then I've been over there, and I spent New Year's Eve there too one time, and we were on the riverboat. And so hopefully that we plan when the family comes here from Europe, but they do. I got a lot of freaking flyer miles, so we're gonna use that to go to California with the whole gang, and then stay at my mom, and then we'll go to Disneyland. And I'll be very interested. But now I'll tell you something. What I did the last time I was there with my wife, I think if I remember, we went and got a wristband. So when you know, people wheelchair, I don't care what anybody say. You know, when you have a reason, instead of waiting in the line for a good ride for an hour or so, you wait and wait to get that ride. You can go and get into the where the, you can go where the people. You can go ahead of the line and get in real quick. And I took advantage of that, and it worked really well.
Yeah, you can do that. You would go into the exit after you get the. Yeah, today they've changed it a little bit. They had to, because people who had no problems at all would go out and rent a wheelchair just so that they could take advantage of that situation. And so now they ask you to bring a doctor from, or rather a note from your doctor indicating that you've got some type of problem which prevents you from standing in line or something like that. And the people are pretty lenient about the situation. They know whether you're legitimate or not. And if you have a cane, they'll usually allow you or a guide dog to go to the exit. Everybody's different. I mean, each ride is different. Disneyland, it's easier than it is in California Adventure Theme Park. But anyway, just the fact that GPS is now available is just really terrific. So I know there are some spots in Disney World in Florida that have been labeled already when Mike was there years ago. But I don't think it's been really gone over from beginning to end. And it's, of course, it's a lot larger, so it's going to take a bit more time. And I don't know yet about some of the other theme parks, but I mean, there are lots of us out here, so people should be able to just go to those parks and probably with sighted assistance, I would imagine, in most cases, and just start labeling things. And if they want to get specific information as to how we did it, I mean, they can write to Mike or Jamie, and they can give some tips, I'm sure. So it's something that's definitely worth doing, and it's just one great way to use this particular instrument.
I have a question, Chris.
Cancel button to activate.
Go ahead.
I'm going to wait about 5 minutes because I'm burning something, and
0%.
Jaw's going to keep talking. I got from my teacher that I got my certified ATI certificate. Gave us all new updated Vista, Outlook, HTML,
10%.
all that, and I'm putting them all on CD now.
Cool.
At first, when you said I was burning something, I thought, oh, geez, the kitchen's on fire. No matter. You want to wait.
22%.
Yeah, John, we're planning on taking little tiny clips of those audio and putting them, attaching them to some POIs.
Oh, good idea. And I know we only did just a few of the rides, so next time I'm down there, if I get any extra stuff, I'll send it along to you to attach to other stuff. I think we just did California Screamin', we did Soaring Over California, we did Pirates of the Caribbean, and I think that was it this time around. Because, of course, we had to do, you know, lots of analysis and research just to make sure that everything worked properly, so.
John, I got a question I asked you.
28%.
Do they offer military discount? I got a military ID card. Do they offer
30%.
It? Do they, to get into Disneyland, how did that work? I know
32%.
I can go to Disney World and stay at the Green at Shade, or Shade of Green. That's a military hotel. It's in Disney World. I get a room there for like $100 a night.
35%.
To stay in the hotel, I can have as many people I want to stay in the room.
37%.
But how does that work in Disneyland and Anaheim for a military discount?
All three of our hotels have a 10% discount for military people. You just show your military. Well, you make a reservation and then show your military ID at check-in, and then that gives you the discount. From time to time, they have promotions for tickets as well. Don't know whether that's an all-the-time situation or not, because I'm not there at the actual parks all the time. But you could always give them a call, and they could tell you whether that's accurate. But yeah, the hotels year-round, there's always at least a 10% discount, and sometimes more than that in terms of a promotion.
When I just came back from
48%
from Romania. We spent two nights at the Munich, Germany, and I went to the Oktoberfest.
50%.
It cost me 139 euro per night. And when I did call, they wanted 450 euro per night at the Hilton. And I got the military discount when I got there, and I got it down to 130. I mean, I couldn't even believe they charged that much money. That would have cost about 650 American dollars per night to stay there.
I understand hotels are really expensive. Well, they're expensive here too, but you know, they're going to go with what the market will bear, and people do pay it, especially at a resort situation. So it's you know, it's not cheap, that's for sure.
At least if I ever go to Disney World, 63%. I'll get a good package there. Because I can get a room there for, they remodeled right next to all the other hotels.
65%.
$100 per night. Not bad. I'm at
69%.
70%, Chris. When I get this thing burned, I'll ask my question.
Yep, I can hear the count up.
I've been playing with that accessible burning program you mentioned this morning.
I thought it was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's very, very accessible. And even better, it's an Australian website.
Cool.
They do a heap of other things like, you know, phone programs like VoIP stuff and, you know, on-hold programs and all sorts of things. And they do hardware as well.
I think I've downloaded like three or four of their programs, and they're accessible right out of the box.
You know, it's very nice. You know, I'm having a little battle at the moment. I can hear myself coming through my microphone. Unfortunately, the Vista volume control is very inaccessible.
I agree.
Here's my question. I create a route. I saved it. I save it into my SD card. And I call it map folders. Or GPF map. So I put it in there, and then I go to my Word document, open up Word, open a file, and I go to the GPS map and pull out that. And what do I do after that? Open that up and then print that out for a sighted person to read it?
When you say you saved a route, did you save the route directions or save the route? That's two different processes.
I saved a route.
Okay, saving the route is a... those .gps files are binary files. They cannot be read by the word processor. What you need to do is, in 4.22, you need to go to the root command, have the root opened, so either create one or open one. Then go to root, management, and then save root directions, and it'll prompt you whether you want it to be turns only or detailed, and then it'll prompt you if you want waypoint numbers on or off, and then it'll prompt you the drive, the folder, and the file name of what you want to call that root. Once you do that, it's a plain text file.
Okay. Without going into big detail, say it one more time. Step A, B, C. I just turned my recorder on. I want to, then I'm going to work on that another day.
Step one, open or create a root. So you have your starting and your ending point. Step two, R for root commands, M for management commands, and then D for save root directions. And then it'll prompt you for the turns only or details. You hit T or D, and then it'll prompt you waypoint numbers on or off. And then it will prompt you for the drive, the folder, and the file name. And it's just a plain text file, so you can do whatever you want with it.
Thank you. I learned something tonight.
Very cool. You can even attach it to an email if you wanted to.
Yeah, I'm going to work with that, and once I got that work out easily, I'm going to practice with that, and then I'm going to start using that because it does come in handy.
Very cool.
I went for a bit of a walk the other day with the GPS, and that was interesting. I mainly used it in vehicle, and walking around was pretty good. Unfortunately, I had to have the volume at 32 because I was near a highway, and even then I had to rely on the braille a bit more. What do you do in that situation? Use a earpiece or a speaker or?
Yeah, some people use earbuds. Some people use speakers. It really depends on, you know, what you have at the time. Some people will just take the machine and hold it closer to their ear, even.
It also really depends on what kind of a environment you're in. When we were at Disneyland Thursday, I had the speech on, but I also had the braille display on, and it was easier for me as we were walking, just to reach down and read it with the braille display, because it does get noisy, and so for me the braille display is the best way to go.
See, I couldn't hear yours. I could hear hers, but I couldn't hear yours.
Yeah, and I think I turned it down to about 25. The volume was down to about 25, and I was she was to my right most of the time, so I don't know, maybe the mics just didn't pick it up, or maybe I'd had the volume low enough so that it didn't matter. But that's okay, because I was getting the information I needed from the braille display, so that's all I really cared about.
Exactly, but I just wanted to just say that. I don't know if she told you, but she was using stereo microphones.
Yeah, she told me that you'd sent them out to her, and I think that's really neat. I didn't get a chance to hear her recordings. I think she said she was going to send me something just to get an idea of what it sounded like. But I've heard, I don't know what brand name those microphones were, but I've heard a lot of different podcast stuff that Larry Skutkan does and other people do, and so the mics really sound nice. I need to go buy myself some microphones for my DS-50. I hate the stereo microphone that came with it. It's not very good. So I tend to pull it off and use the mono one, because that's got good sound. The only drawback is that it's mono. So one of these days I may go out and get a stereo microphone.
Yeah, they were behind-the-ear sound professional microphones.
Okay, yeah, sound professional is good. So I know what they probably sounded like. So, did you say it was windy? Because it wasn't that windy there. It was warm, but it really wasn't that windy. But maybe those microphones tend to pick up the the breeze.
No, actually, they did a good job considering they didn't have their windscreens on.
Oh, okay. Now, when we were doing the California Screamin', I would imagine that most of what you heard was wind and the music that was being utilized in the car, right?
Yeah, but you could hear the chain as you're going up the track, and you could hear all kinds of stuff. But you could hear the wind, but it wasn't as bad as one would have thought.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad that they came out good, because it was a lot of fun. Not a bad day to get paid for doing something you enjoy doing. So, because I used a sick day, so it worked out really well.
Nothing wrong with that.
I was hoping, well, I don't know, I'm not sure yet what's going to happen. I was hoping to make CSUN, but I hear that, I haven't heard it officially, but a friend of mine knows somebody who just got hired with us at the travel company, and if I'm training, that may mess up CSUN this year, but we'll have to see how that works out.
Yep, those other conflicts, you know?
And also, Freedom Scientific does a beta luncheon every year, and this is the first year that I've been on the team, and I was looking forward to doing that too, and I don't know whether that's going to work, but you know, that's the way it goes. There are going to be other years, and so we'll just have to take it as it comes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, I'm hoping to get to CSUN. I'm still working on them to, you know, pay for it, because it's a serious flight all the way from here and everything else, but I'm looking forward to, if I can get to it, I'm looking forward to just, you know, exploring around. I got the invitation to the beta lunch as well, so we'll see what happens. Apparently last year was just chips and a bottle of water, so I'm not sure what the food will be like.
I don't know. I thought it was more than that. I'll have to ask my brother. He's been to several of them, so we'll see how it goes. And I know there's a lot of nice, neat stuff around there to look at from a GPS perspective. I think that's where I first met Mike several years ago when he was doing tours of the area. So he kind of demonstrated some of the GPS stuff in and around that area. So there's a lot to look at, and I've been in that area for radio-related conventions that I've been involved in. And so it's kind of an interesting, but I've never done it with GPS, so I'd like to go back and do it now with my unit. So we'll see. One of these days it'll all work out.
One time last year, CSUN, we were doing a limo tour. I was doing a limo tour, and we're going down the street, and it says, I'll always remember this. The POIs are being announced, and it says 125 feet ahead and right to strip joint.
That must have been what it was called. Okay. And just said somebody else stop the car?
No, but the funny thing was that it announced another point, and then it announced it again. It's like, okay, well, it knows what it wants.
I did an article the other day for a magazine on Brown Mount GPS. I can't give it out for free, but I can send it to, you know, maybe... I can probably send it to you, Chris, if you want to hear it and see. I don't know. You can tell me what I left out.
Sure, I can do that.
You know, it wasn't too bad. It only goes for about 35 minutes. I couldn't, unfortunately, it was raining, so I couldn't go anywhere. Accurately. I'm still trying to find a decent recorder that I can take out and record GPS. I've got the PTR2, but carrying that around as well as GPS and everything else could be challenging.
Yeah, I've done it before. It is challenging.
Yeah, and they refused to send the icon out to Australia. I'd like that. Mainly for the recording.
You know, if the PTR2 was in a kind of a case that you could get to the ports and you can get to the jacks, it really wouldn't be that bad, because when I do recordings on the PTR2, I have to flip the device upside down and backwards just so that the case can zipper up over 3/4 of the device.
Yeah, I know. I know there was talk a while ago about trying to get Executive Products to make a case for it, but I can't remember what their reasoning. Was, but it was something to do with I'm not exactly sure, but yeah, it was something to do with ventilation or something like that.
Good point.
I think though, yeah, I picked up a 16 gig compact flash card for it the other day, really, really cheaply, so I can get, you know, and just over a day's worth of recording. I'll walk around for a day with GPS.
And is that on the highest recording level?
Yeah, 44.1, yeah.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, I think it's a good... Oh, there we go, it's all happening. I think it's a good device. It's, you know, I just wish it was a bit smaller to carry around. Yeah, and I've got some really nice mics that just clip onto your collar, made by a guy in Melbourne. He hand makes them, and yeah, they're really nice.
Because it is an excellent recorder. So how's 4.22 working for everybody?
Working fine for me. I love it. It's much faster, and everything is working fine. I haven't done any attaching of anything yet, but I'm going to be doing that here shortly. So I like it a lot.
Now, when you attach a file, not a WAV file, but a document, it has to be in a keyword format.
Ah, okay. That's good to know. I'm going to have to do some playing with that just to kind of get some practice with it. I've got the instructions and so forth, so I'll definitely have to work on that probably next weekend when I'm home.
But it's really cool because you can attach 3, 4, 5 megabyte files to a POI and actually read them.
I really like that, especially with regard to restaurants. I mean, to attach a menu, for example, is just really, really nice. And I'm sure there will be other things that will come up as I think about them and apply them.
Well, you know what you could do is this whole Disney thing, you could actually, for some of the things, have like the history of such and such, you know, something that you can't fit in a 256 character details field. You can put in as an attachment.
Yeah, you know, they've got on our internal website the history of some of the rides, like Pirates of the Caribbean and others. So, you know, that I could probably do a lot of that as well, which would really be pretty neat. Then as you rode something, you could actually look at its history.
Exactly, or when you're waiting in the line.
That's a good idea. I'll have to start taking a look at that. Now, the fact that it was written in HTML, I would just have to make sure that I saved it as a keyword document, then I could use it.
Correct.
Is there any limitation in terms of audio files, in terms of size? Or I guess it would better to be to use smaller excerpts rather than anything lengthy, correct?
Yeah, because the MPower and the PK are not created equal. So something that will play on the MPower might not play on a PK. And I think we got a file down to like 6 megabytes that would play on both.
Okay, well then that's still a decent amount of time. I'm not quite sure how to equate megabytes with time increments, but 6 megabytes, you know, that takes a little bit of time to play, so.
Well, that's all going to depend on the bit rate. If it's in stereo, you know, the lower the bit rate, the less quality you have, and that's all going to depend. When we were at WaveFun this year, we were reading there was a manual or a menu that was read, and I don't know how long it was, but that was the one that we were trying to get down to under six megabytes, and we finally did, but the audio was just so bad, but it was usable.
I remember a menu that was put up on the website. But I'm not sure if that was WaveFun. That might have been something else. No, I think it was somewhere else when Mike was traveling somewhere. And that was about a 3 or 4 minute menu, but I don't think that was the same one you're talking about.
Kim Casey was reading it.
Oh, yes. Well, if that's the one you're talking about, then that was about a 3 or 4 minute excerpt, I believe.
You're probably right. We had it up around September of last year.
That sounds about right.
And when we got to the restaurant, it was so hard you couldn't concentrate on the menu because you'd have to have your speech so loud, and it was usable. And I think if you had a set of earphones or something, it would work even better.
We have a
45%.
I haven't looked into it yet, but they have a place here in town now, and they have 3 locations called Lion and Rose, and
48%.
They have a talking menu selection now. And they also have an earpiece to go
50%.
With it, to and you can turn the audio up for hard of hearing and stuff. But
52%.
I heard it worked pretty good, and they were the first people in town doing this.
That's cool.
Talking menu. When I go there and I have some fish and chip, I'm gonna test it out and
56%.
I'm gonna get some more information about it.
57%.
Report back to you guys.
Sounds good to me. It sounds fascinating.
Yeah, well, I went there. They were very nice. They offered me a Braille
61%.
menu in Braille, and I said, I've I don't read Braille, so I went with my wife, and she
63%.
Read. She read the menu, but I seen it the other day on the news on TV that their restaurant.
65%.
They're gonna put one up in our area too, but they're the first one doing it, so that's cool.
67%.
Hopefully, start getting a lot of other business start to do that.
Well, it's nice because the businesses are aware of the issues then too.
Have you guys? I didn't know, wasn't sure if you guys were talking about this now or not. Had you guys experienced
4%
those talking menu?
This is the first I've ever heard of them.
Okay.
78%.
I think you go to Google because there's a lady, she was out of Florida, invested $300,000 of money to get it going.
80%.
First step. I'm actually going to, when I go there, see if I can get the website for this. I really do want to look into this more and find out what it cost them for them to set it up. But I heard it worked.
83%.
I heard it worked very well.
That's what counts.
Thanks for that email you sent the other day, Chris. He's still working on that, and it's with your information stuff is real, real valuable. And like he told me, he said, what he's doing is just like it's going to the Supreme Court, and they'll make the final decision. So I'm saying it's not that they're not going to purge it anymore of the Sendero product, but for the average user, they will not purchase one, but for one with special justification, they would. But if they rule this, it will really cut it down tremendously.
Well, I hope it works out.
Yeah. I don't know how many orders, the Veteran Affair order from Sendero, but I don't know if they order 5 a year, 10 a year, or 30 a year, but this may drop it down to 1 a year or less or something, and I don't think that's right.
I agree.
Well, I got permission from the San Francisco Lighthouse of the Blind to Lighthouse to post the seminar on my website, and I got it there, and I got all the file for the all three GPS from Sendero, Street Talk, and Trekker. So, and then also the 1 hour and 55 minutes of the seminar of people telling what the pros and the cons of all these three products. And I would suggest that those people would listen to it too.
Well, I find it a security. You know, it's a good for a security if somebody doesn't know where they are, you know.
That the issue that I have brought up also, I said, you know, because, you know, he was sending me back the attachment. Just him and I are working on this. And since he'd work with a hit of prosthetic in Washington, all we on the phone with him. So he got mad. He said, I hate to be denied this. And you know, I can't give you the person name that wanted, but I did an interview for him. But all I can say, him and his wife have worked for IRS. So they're both computer user, and then kind of making it hard just for him just to get it. So
Scott Erickson has left the room.
But I'm kind of he been sending me the file back, and then he asked me what, and I'm gonna add it onto his note, and so now he's gonna brush it up and polish it up and get it sent off.
Very cool.
And I did brought up, and I bet the paying attention to Scott when he was leaving, but I hope I didn't bore him. Like I say to them, you don't have to use it every day. You can put it in your backpack and stuff. But when you are really confused or lost, you can take it out and it'll get you where you need to go, or you'll find out where you are and also what the address is in that area. And I also and look for points of interest around that area when you're looking for something. It's very helpful, very useful too. And like I said, I want to say this too, and like your thought on this. I think that a trekker is nice, it's small, you can stick it in your jacket, no problem. But I find out it's very difficult to use, very, very difficult. And you really have to have a good memory, tech typing on the number of keypad using the tracker.
Right.
John, I could tell you one thing about working for Disneyland. You cannot grow a mustache, right?
I believe that's correct. Our dress guidelines are a bit different than the ones at the park, but I believe that's correct.
Yeah, I've seen that a while back, and I was laughing. They fired somebody; they wouldn't shave their mustache off.
Yeah, overall, the dress code is pretty conservative, but you know, that's their choice. So you either abide by it, or you know, go somewhere else. So it's not a big deal to me.
Yeah, no, myself too. That's the way I see it. I know one thing, if you're working for a company and you are out looking for another job somewhere, put out a resume in other places, and they knew that, they can fire you for that and rehire somebody else to replace your position, and it's legal. I was watching that on 60 Minutes, and I couldn't believe that the people were getting away with that. The company was getting away with terminating people in that way, and even heard Bill Handel on the Law did something about that too.
Any more today, companies can terminate you for pretty much anything, you know, and they're the ones who control things. So you know, you just have to be careful what you do and cover yourself.
Yeah, health issue. The company wanted people to quit smoking. They wanted people to lose weight. They said they were driving up medical costs, and they gave them a year or something like that. Anyone that does not comply, they would be terminated from the company. And pretty people said, I work here for 10 years, 8 years. They were pretty upset. And it was legal. All right, Chris, behave yourself.
I'll remember that. The next time I give Charles a hard time, I'll think about it.
It seems like the Sendero is a good company to work for.
We all get along.
Yeah, it sounds like it, based upon what I've heard. It was good to get a chance to meet Jamie the other day, and then I've talked, of course, to you and Charles, and a little bit to Mike. So it just seems like a nice company. So I hope it continues to thrive for many, many years to come. Where is Charles today?
I don't know.
You know me, I'm always looking at the future, so I have a gut-rotten feeling here. And Accessible World, the new CEO came in, and you got to go to Archive and listen to accessibleworld.org. And he's from the new CEO of HumanWare. And he talked. I caught the last 15 minutes, but then they had a internet problem. So in a few weeks, the Perret or something like that, got the name similar to Charles' last name. And he's a research and development for Canada, and Jerry is going to be talking what's going on, what it takes to when they do the research and development. But I have a gut feeling that it won't be long before our M-Power voice note will be kind of useless, and we'll have to up if we want to keep up, we're going to have to update maybe the whole unit, or they'll replace the inside and did like they did with the voice note a long time ago when they added the internet to it, and I think that's coming up this year. I just have a feeling.
Yeah, those are the rumors, and I went back into my files to see if I could remember what it cost to do that last time. You know, and unfortunately, with a small company, or relatively small by commercial standards, and a small clientele of people who use it, I mean, when they upgrade, it costs more. Which is, you know, I'm not saying I like it, but you know, what other choice do you have if you're going to need it for, in a work situation? That's, you know, that's unfortunately the one of the problems with being blind and having to depend upon the technology. It's not mass marketed, that's for sure. So it's not easy. And if you have to pay for it yourself, it's really not easy. And so some of this I can justify for work, but not all of it. So, you know, we shall see what happens.
Yeah, the cost. And I'm sure I'll have to front this. I got this through Volt Rehab from the VA, but not from the VIS program in the VA. When I was taking my certified ATI course, all that came with it. You know, I had to do a lot of talking. I got the M-Power changeover from the Classic, and I justify it, and then they did it. But off the record, it's not published through the VA at an issue item for me. This is my personal item, so I'll have to pay for it. I'll have to see how much it costs. And the cost is too much. See, the thing is, this is a beef I have about this whole darn thing anyway. Not just me, but other people. Let's say